But in talking about last Sunday that Jesus went a little further in the garden, he prayed through. It looked as if everything was hopeless. It looked as if this was it. And yes, they crucified him. And I can't imagine what went through his disciples' hearts and minds that night. They're like, it's over. Very despondent. All their hopes and dreams dashed. Yes, maybe they were a little skewed, didn't really understand what was going on there. But there was something going on in that tomb. Jesus, we'll say his father, also had a plan. He was not going to stay. No chains could bind him. And as we know, there in the tomb, in fact, we'll read the scripture here in a moment. In Mark, the 16th chapter, remember how they tried to fix this. They put a stone over the tomb, like there's no way. And in Mark, the 16th chapter, I just want to turn and read a little bit there. Try to get a picture of what's going on. Jesus being dead, he was crucified. There was no doubt. But in Mark, the 16th chapter, when Mary's came that morning to the sepulcher, the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" You see, they felt, these were just two ladies here that felt very helpless against a big stone that had rolled over the opening of the tomb there. They're like, there's no way. We can't finish the job. We can't do this. So they were limited as well. And the disciples were despondent. Our master's gone. And there were other things that, of course, there was, as mentioned in Matthew, the 27th chapter. Let's just get a little picture of, again, what's going on here in Matthew 27. You may not read these scriptures, but basically, the Jews there are saying, you know what? He talked about raising himself from the dead. Let's make sure and let's send some soldiers there. So we got the tomb locked in with this big stone, and then let's send some soldiers to stand guard. So again, things looked like this was an inevitable end of all their hopes. But I want to tell you something this morning. As we all know, that's not the end of the story. Thank the Lord. Something took place there. The power of God, Christ resurrecting himself because he lived such a sinless and pure life before his heavenly Father, that the power of God rested upon him, resurrected himself through the power of God out of that tomb. And there was, as well, even that morning after Jesus was resurrected. I'll turn and read a couple more scriptures in Luke. Remember those that were walking on the road to Emmaus? They hadn't seen Jesus yet. He's the one that was walking with them. But remember what they said. These words just ring. Remember in Luke 24, we'll start in verse 19. Jesus is walking with them and they're talking about all these things that happened. Jesus being crucified, and he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people." Like, our master, Jesus, he was amazing, performing these miracles, and he spoke and preached with authority. Well, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. Not only was he condemned, but he was crucified. And they're thinking, this is it. In verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel." You see, that's what they had their hopes set on. They were humans. They still didn't get the message. And no doubt Jesus is silently, maybe kind of in his mind and maybe kind of subtly shaking his head. And oh, and he was there right beside him. And later, of course, they said, oh, did not our heart burn within us when they realized who it was? Of course, that's why. Because the power of God was right there, fixing to impart to them the words of power and authority, of salvation, and what he was going to do with the whole redemption of not just Israel, but the whole world that this plan of salvation was going to be open to. See, they were so narrow that this was just for Israel. And Jesus thinking, oh no, no, it's going to start with you, but it's going to go beyond that. And that's what I want to talk about here this morning. I want to write this on the board. You see, God had a plan. It wasn't just going to stay with Jesus and his disciples. This was a global gospel for the whole world. And Jesus in the flesh was limited. He could only be in so many places at one time. One place at a time. And so, well, he had his disciples, so that's going to help. But they were limited too. And it wasn't just because of their lack of education. It was, they were limited in number. There were just 11 of them at this time. And so, God had a plan. And I'm so thankful it didn't even stop just at the resurrection. That was the most important, you could say. As in, he proved that he had all power over heaven and earth. Even over sin. And he's resurrected. And then he's walking on the road to Emmaus. And then later, remember another sighting. In fact, I think this is the third time he appeared to his disciples. And what did Peter say? We won't turn and read it. But in John, the 21st chapter, Peter was still despondent. It's like, oh, he shows up here and then he's gone. He shows up here and then he's gone. Like, and what did Peter say? I go fishing. Again, nothing's happening, Lord. It's just, it's boring. We're sad. We're depressed. And let's get something going here. Well, I'm just going to go back and go fishing. That was not God's plan. At least not their literal fishing. He wanted Peter to go fishing for men's souls, you see. Go feed my sheep, he told him. You see, that's where Jesus is saying, the glory, the power, the authority that I have in my life, I want to impart to you. You see, that was the eternal plan. But there was something that had to take place in their hearts and lives first. And truly, just speaking of Peter specifically, we all know his story, how that he acted brashly and tried to take things in his own hands and cut off the guard's ear when they were trying to apprehend Jesus. He said, no, 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 no. Put away your sword, Peter. You don't understand. But you see, Peter, he had to die out to something there. He had to die out to himself. That's what was in the way. And all these things he concocted in his mind, all these plans, you know what, maybe I'm going to be the general for this big army that Jesus is going to set up here to redeem Israel and show these Romans who's really boss around here. And perhaps with that sword, he was trying to demonstrate how good of a soldier he was. Well, he wasn't. But you know, that was the key there. Peter had to die to self. And then later, remember, about 50 days later, at the day of Pentecost, what happened? It was Peter that got up and preached the first full message of the gospel from the disciples' mouths, we could say. Jesus had been preaching for a few years. But they finally got it. There was some of Christ's glory resting upon Peter and the rest of the disciples there and those that were gathered in the upper room because the Holy Ghost revival started with power and authority. Many souls saved and then different ones going about and doing what Jesus told them to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I want to say this first. They had to die out to something. And truly, that's when life was made available to them. The spiritual life. Not just the literal life, but the spiritual life. Something new and refreshing. That's not the old Peter. This is the new regenerated Peter, you see. Well, I want to transition here for a moment. I want to read some scriptures in Ezekiel. So bear with me as we read some scriptures here. Pray for me. Ezekiel 37. I believe there's something in this for all of us here. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. This is the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. Let's just read these. I'll try to skim through them really quick here. So bear with me. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up over them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, and have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. What an amazing story took place here. But you know, this is all types and shadows of not only what God was desiring to do for Israel in a spiritual sense, not to restore Israel in the physical sense, but spiritually speaking, establishing His church, you see, starting with the Jews, the believing Jews, that they've grasped hold of this gospel message and establish it and redeem Israel, but not just within those borders, but as a spiritual analogy here to redeem Israel, to bring about the birth of the new church, you see. That's what this was all about. But before this, consider what he said here. Can these bones live? You know, no doubt Jesus is thinking to himself when he's trying to teach his disciples, thinking, can these men really do this? He knew they could, but he's no doubt many times he's kind of taken back and their faith was not catching hold. And they weren't getting the message, thinking, can these really live? And no doubt he and his father communicating and praying about it, said, yes, it is possible. With God, all things are possible, you see. Well, then it goes on. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It says, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So imagine for a moment here, dead bones lying in a valley, scattered. Don't know which bones are which. I remember the other day I was driving by out in the country and a little side road, and I looked out in the field and there were some bones scattered out there, not too far from the road. I'm thinking, I wonder what kind of animal that was. Maybe a cow, maybe a coyote. I don't know how it was. If it was a cow, it was a small one. But the point was, it was just some bones lying out there. It's gone. It's history. Never to come alive again. So to consider this as some dry bones out there, that is impossible. There's no hope. Because it said here, These bones are the whole house of Israel. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost, you see. So in the literal sense, you're looking at these dry bones saying, that's impossible. Nothing can come from that. Now I want to bring up something else. Notice these little flowers up front here, these daffodils. You know, during the wintertime, you can't really see where these flowers are at. It's cold, it's getting 0 degrees, everything is dead, brown, nothing around. But after a few months, and things start getting warmer, and there's some rain, and there's some sunshine, guess what? These little flowers come alive. It seems like there's no hope. There's nothing there. But yet, there is. That's what's so beautiful about the springtime and about Easter being in the springtime. Everything is coming up alive and fresh, at least here in this area. And it's beautiful. I think it's very timely that this could be a symbol of Jesus resurrecting from the dead. But beyond that, you see, Jesus had a bigger plan. His Father had a bigger plan. And it wasn't just to keep it a small little nucleus of Jews here. But he wanted to resurrect some dead lives. Some spiritually dead lives. And to breathe some life into them. That's what happened with these bones. The Spirit of the Lord breathed life into them. So it's one thing you could say to get saved. That's putting all the bones and everything back together. But there still wasn't the Holy Spirit within. So that was like the second level. They said, okay, now breathe my Spirit. The wind breathed. And it blew in just like on the day of Pentecost. There was a great noise. And the wind sounded as a rushing wind. There was the Holy Spirit. God paying a visit, filling those folks with life, you see. Then they could start working and moving according as how His Spirit conducted them to. Giving them words that, you know, I don't think Peter had a big long scroll for his message that morning. Or that afternoon, whatever it was. It was the Holy Spirit prompting him and bringing back to remembrance things that took place while his master was here on the earth. And Jesus prophesied, that's what's going to happen. That the Spirit of truth is going to come back and remind you. And we're bringing all these things back and put all the little pieces of this confusing jigsaw puzzle back into something beautiful. You see, that was the plan. And thinking of these dry bones, you know, that could have been, again, to Ezekiel walking by there and seeing it, he's like, oh, God, you know. He's like, I can look at that and say, that's impossible. There's no way. I want to tell you this morning, the devil's going to come by and tell you, that's impossible. You can't live for God. You can't do that. That's too high a calling. That's too high a price. It's the highway of holiness, dear ones. It's not, and it's the straight and narrow way. It's not this one that wanders around. You get a little, dab a little of this and dab a little bit of that. But no, it's the straight and narrow way. It's the way that Jesus trod, you see. And Jesus paved the way. He went a little further to prove that, you know what? There is some power and authority here, and it is attainable. That's what He proved on the cross. That's what He proved coming out of the tomb. That's what He proved in being merciful to His disciples, even when Peter said, I go a fish, and he goes out in the boat, and Jesus is thinking, oh, Peter, I got something more for you. And He met him there, cooked a little meal for him there. Come and dine, the Master says. I got some spiritual food for you here, and I got a spiritual job for you to do. Let's put aside these foolish, trivial things, the things of the earth, the things of the flesh, your own plans and hopes and dreams. Put those aside. Let me give you something more powerful. Let me give you some clear direction in life by breathing my Holy Spirit upon you and bringing you to life just like these bones were. Well, notice what it says here. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. Notice what happens here. It wasn't just one or two soldiers here that came up to life and started walking and moving around. It says an exceeding great army. You see, that was God's plan with not just His disciples, but with all those that would believe, that a whole host, an army of the soldiers of the cross would be arose from the dead, from the death of the sin and their old ways, and then the new life breathed in them, that they would raise up a great army that they would be moving according to the breath of the Holy Spirit within them. You see what I'm saying? These dead bones had nothing. But when the Spirit of God came in, there was a life. And they started moving about, a whole host of them, a great army. Well, you know that's what Jesus' plans were. Remember in John the 17th chapter. I want to turn and read here. In John 17. This is Jesus' prayer just soon before his crucifixion. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I just want to pick out a few verses here. Jesus is praying, verse 19, John 17 and 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, Jesus, prior to this, already knew the capability here, the power of what the Holy Spirit was going to bring. He was already making plans. You know, this is not going to be just a little thing here. I'm expecting great things here. I'm expecting a great revival to break out. They didn't understand what he's saying here. But he's saying, neither prayer for these alone, not just my disciples here, but for all those that which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me. Now get this, dear ones. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Isn't that amazing? You see, this is a beautiful picture here of what Jesus and His Heavenly Father had designed here, and coupled with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity here. This is a beautiful picture here of the church. A great host, an army of soldiers of the cross. That they would get a hold of this, and that they would receive the Holy Spirit of the Lord, and that they would go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. That's what Jesus commissioned them in Acts, the first chapter. Before He ascended, He said, I want to send you as witnesses unto the whole world, that you may preach the living gospel to everyone, that anyone that believes shall receive God in their hearts as well. And back here in Ezekiel, I want to go back to this, and notice what this says. This wasn't something, this is a special thing that was going to take place. Notice it says here, and ye shall know, verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Now read back here in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So he's saying that's something that's dead. That's something that needs to be get rid of. All those things that are against me and against my word and my holiness and my plan, get rid of those things. That includes self and sin and all those things. Get rid of them. Die out to them. Crucify them, he said. Take up my cross and follow me. Get rid of those things to enable to take up the cross of Jesus and his sufferings and his ways. You have to first get rid of yourself to make room for that cross. You see, the heavy load and all those things, the extra baggage and all those things you're carrying around in life. He's saying, get rid of those things. There's not room for the cross there. There's not room for me. There's not room for my spirit within you. Get rid of those things. Then you can take up your cross and follow me. Then you can deny yourself and follow me. See, isn't this a beautiful? And not only, here's the awesome thing. You're not going to stand up by yourself and say, well, I'm here, God. But when everyone else is doing the same thing, then a great host of army that used to be dry bones rises up. And that's exactly what the church of God is. That's when the Holy Ghost came down upon the disciples and upon the rest of them there on the day of Pentecost. That was a great army that stood up there. And yet it was small in that time. But think of the years that have transpired since then. There's been thousands and millions that have joined up in this army of the Lord. That have stood up and said, yes, Lord, I want you. I want your spirit. I'm tired of these dry bones. I'm tired of all these things. There's death. It's old, dry, rattly bones. I want something alive and afresh. And God said, okay, I can do something with that. And truly, that's what God did. But it took the death of Jesus Christ. It took Him going a little further, you see, Now I want to read a couple more scriptures here. In Philippians, the third chapter, this is what took place. And Apostle Paul, he caught onto this as well. He was given a new heart. He was given the Holy Spirit. And at one time, persecuting the church, said, how long will you kick against the pricks? Yet he's thinking, well, but I have all these things that I'm doing according to the law. And so, no. Those are your ways. Those are men's ways. I got a new law here. A law of love. A law of mercy. That's what I want you to extend to people. Not beating them over the heads literally and putting them in prison. He said, I came to deliver them from prisons. Not just the literal prisons you put them in, but the prisons of sin, the prisons of your own conceived ideas and plans for things. He's like, deliver them of all those things. And here in Philippians, Apostle Paul is saying here, the third chapter, let's start with verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had always already attained, neither already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Notice what he says here. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know what he's talking about? Forget those old dry bones. Let's not dwell on those things. Let's not focus on those things. But let's look ahead, reaching forth, he said, unto those things which are before. What can God make of me? What can God do with me? What can God do with you, you see? Don't look at the past. Don't look at the old track record of who you used to be and all the things you used to do. He said, no, through the power and the resurrection, there's something new that can take place here. There's something that take you above yourself, you see, and give you victory over those areas that you stubbed your toe hundreds of times maybe. You stumbled here and there, all these stumbling blocks. No, I want to make those things stepping stones to bring you into this wonderful, glorious army of the Lord, a soldier of the cross. Well, and he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's that high calling? To be a witness. To preach and teach the word. No, we might all be preachers here, but we can preach with our lives. That's the most important thing. You know, 2 years from now, you won't remember a single word I said this morning. But you will remember the things that everyone does in their body. The actions, the words, the comments, the reactions, the demonstrations of love and mercy. We remember those things. So that's what he's saying here. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of being not just a Christian, but a soldier of the cross. Yes, a Christian, that's great. I'm not trying to disqualify the power of that, but I'm just saying an active soldier of the cross. Not just naming the name, you see. Jesus, and so many times, there's people that want to just be involved. Just kind of, well, yeah, I'm so-and-so, and I do this, and I go there. No. God wants someone that goes all the way. They're committed. They take up the cross. They get rid of self and sin and all those things. No, I'm going all the way. I press toward the mark, Apostle Paul said, to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto you. But the point is, God wants us to do this thing together. Not just as a single soldier, but as an army, a unified army. I want to read some more scriptures here. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. You see, Apostle Paul is trying to share something with this young brother. He knows his time is short. He wants this young brother, Timothy, to get a hold of something. And this is what he's telling him. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. You see, Apostle Paul got a vision here. This thing, it's not good enough just for me to do my part. I want to encourage others to do their part too. That we're all in this thing together. That it may go on and grow and spread. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You see, that's where we have to separate between the flesh and the spirit. There's things of this life that get in the way. There's selfish desires. There's things in your own mind that you concoct. Well, things have to be this way. And this has to be that way. And God's going to work this way. You try to put God in a box. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You can't do that. You have to let go. Say, you know what? I got to let go of all those preconceived ideas. And let the Lord breathe the spirit of truth and life into you. That He might move upon you and cause you to do things that you didn't think were possible. But He's saying here, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to read verses 8 through 12. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. So He's saying, in the flesh, yes, I've suffered as a soldier of the cross, standing up for the truth, fighting for the truth. And yes, I've suffered persecution. I've been beaten. I've been scourged. I've all these things put in prison. But yet, Apostle Paul knew Jesus went a little further. Jesus went all the way. And without sin. And conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so Apostle Paul knows that, you know what? That's a high calling. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to reach forth into those things that God is calling me to do and forget those things of the past. My weaknesses, my failures, my inconsistencies. God's saying, you know what? Let's press forward to those things that are ahead. Let's think about the things we can do with you, God is saying, and with my spirit. And He goes on here. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, the eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. You see what He's saying here? It's going to take a spiritual death of things that in the flesh you've been hanging on to, whether it's some fears and doubts. Well, go, but God, I don't think this, that's impossible. You can't do this with this individual. You can't do this with me, or I can't let go of that. Or that's something that I've petted for years, and that's just my little go-to thing. That's what I find comfort in. He said, oh no. Get rid of those things. Cast all your care upon me, all those things. Cast all your burdens. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He's saying, and also, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're laden down with all those things that's causing you to stumble through life. That's causing you to bump into things and to be an eyesore sometimes. And people thinking, well, I thought you were, but what are you doing? Inconsistencies. And people wondering, well, but oh no. But we can forget those things, dump those things, cast those things on the Lord. He's saying, and come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you something within. I'll breathe into you the life of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you something special that then you can go out and start giving to others, you see. Most of the people around you, they're not going to want your burdens and your cares. But Jesus does. He's saying, cast them on me. Let me have them. Then we can take up our cross and follow Him. Then we can be a soldier of the cross. Because we're not being weighed down by all these other things, you see. Then we can truly fight the spiritual warfare. Alright? And fight alongside our captain, our master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then His glory can be in us. His glory can shine through us. Not that we receive the praise, you see. We're transparent. That's what it talks about being a sea of glass. We're transparent. There's nothing we're trying to hide. It's only Christ in us. And that's when we can illuminate the power and authority of the Holy Spirit within our lives. It's illuminating out. That's how we can be a city set on a hill. It's the church. It's individuals together in unity as the church, shining out the hope of the gospel. You see how this works together? And that brings glory to the Lord. And yes, we can be a part of that. That's what Jesus was saying. That was what his prayer was. He's saying, I'm praying for not just these few, but that all would believe. And that I would use you to spread the gospel. You know, it's really easy sometimes to sit back. And again, this is just our own thinking. To look at the condition of our world, our nation, and it just looks hopeless. But I want us to remember something. We're looking at it in a physical sense sometimes too much. Let's not forget, we heard some testimonies already in this service of some souls that got saved recently. Let's not forget that there are still souls to be won. Amidst all the turmoil, it may look like some dry bones out there. It may look like there's impossible that someone's going to get saved in this day and age. I want to say, with man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Remember these little daffodils? It looks impossible when it's covered in ice and snow this thick and 0 degrees outside. There's no way little flowers can come out of there. But I want to tell you something. When the love of God and the showers of blessings of God burns upon that, and it penetrates that soil, and that thing, that little heart, that little seed, that little bulb, starts rejuvenating with life. I want to tell you something. That's what He can do with the souls of mankind. That's what He can do with souls that seem like they're dead and dormant for years. But God's still working and God's still moving. And you know what? God is wanting to use you and I to touch those lives. Maybe we can be a little bit of water. You see what I'm saying? Maybe we can be a little ray of sunshine that might bring some life to some cold, dark, hardened soul that's dead in sin. And God wants to raise them up just like He was out of that tomb. And resurrection, what's the song say we just sang earlier? A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breasts. That's what we're talking about here this morning. God wants all souls on the whole face of this earth. It's hard for my little brain to comprehend this. But God wants all souls to be saved. And we look around us and we hear all the bad news and all the things with and the immorality and all the crime and everything that's going on. And it can really bog us down sometimes. But I want to tell us and encourage us this morning, let's not focus on those things. That's not being a good soldier. That you can get entangled in those things. Those can be burdens and loads of things that you're not supposed to be handling anyway. That's not taking the sword of the Spirit. That's not going out being a soldier on the offensive and saying, aha, devil, I'm going to chase you all the way to glory. I'm not stepping back and just going to, well, yeah, God's going to take care of His people. God's going to save a few souls. No, He wants some soldiers of the cross that's going to drop the cares of this life, so to speak. That's going to drop the burdens, sometimes the self-imposed burdens. It's going to drop those things. And sometimes we could say it's the traps of the enemy, the habits, sinful habits, whatever it is. God's saying, get rid of those things. Drop those things. There's no room for that. You got to drop those things that you may pick up the cross and follow me. That I may breathe upon you the Holy Spirit and give you life anew and give you power and authority above all those things. Isn't this a beautiful life, a beautiful way that God has provided for us? And it all started with the crucifixion and the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. What a beautiful picture of the church. And that we can be a part of this, a great host, an army marching on for God, proclaiming that yes, all things are possible with God. You pray for me that I'd be faithful to Him.